News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, moving into the news of the day, we got things going on, but before we do that, I got to tell you, if you, by the way, find yourself getting outside of the overly broad range of our AM-FM capability, like I was talking to a guy this morning, had breakfast with a guy who was literally saying that he has a special, like a van set up where he's got like a mobile office because he travels to his clients' locations quite often, and so he listens to a lot of radio, and he said, man, how do I get your show? And I said, dude, where you're driving, especially if you're getting outside of North Alabama, just go to rightsideradio.org. Rightsideradio.org, and that will basically square you away. All you got to do then is click listen live, and what I always tell folks is no matter where you is, there we is. So yeah, go to rightsideradio.org. You'll also find, by the way, all of the segments of our show, which have been cut down into shorter segments for podcasting. So the podcast has gotten a pretty strong following. We've got every single day, like my monologue will be one podcast, Copper's Corner will be another one, an interview with so-and-so will be another one, and that one is hitting, I mean, some serious strides. We're right at 23,000 downloads right now on the podcast. So go to rightsideradio.org. You'll find all the stuff. And I got to tell you, one of the things we added this week, just be aware, we added the Right Side Store. So yeah, you go to the rightsideradio.org website, you click on a button at the top that says Right Side Store, and man, we got swag. I mean, we got t-shirts, we got coffee mugs, we got travel cups, all of them with the Right Side logo on them. My favorite, I don't know why it's my favorite. Charlene laughs at me. I was wearing a pair last night. Right Side socks. I guess I'm just getting the biggest kick out of the fact that we have Right Side socks, and so I get the biggest kick out of that. Right Side Store, check it out, because this week alone for our listeners for the grand opening, when you're buying something on there, when you're checking out, plug in the promo code Right Side and get a 10% discount this week on anything you purchase. 10% discount on the Right Side Store at rightsideradio.org. Okay, listen, we got a lot of stuff happening in the news, breaking news. So breaking news, even like right this minute, I'll go ahead and jump on that one first. I got three stories that are all what I would call breaking right now. Breaking could also mean developing, but nonetheless, just announced, like in the last hour or so, Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer is going to retire. Okay, game on. Now, keep in mind, Breyer is one of the more liberal members of the court. And the liberals, the progressives, have been wearing him out to retire. They want him to retire. They're scared to death that he'll some way hang on, and that Biden won't be able to appoint someone to the court who is a liberal. You could see what happened when we had two opportunities for President Trump to appoint, because these folks on the U.S. Supreme Court, by the way, they are appointed for what's called life or good cause. Once you're appointed and confirmed by the Senate, you're there until you retire, or you're taken away in chains, one or the other. So life or good cause means put somebody in there, they could be there a long time affecting the jurisprudence of this nation. And of course, you know, conservatives want a conservative and liberals want a liberal. Well, we've had a split court with liberals, you know, and moderates for quite a while. Now we don't. Now we have a conservative court. This won't change the makeup of the court, but what it will do is it'll put somebody on. I guarantee you, number one, look at this administration. Who's he going to appoint? It's going to be a progressive. It's going to be somebody with extreme liberal bias. There are already calls right now to use skin color, solely skin color, as the selection process for who gets appointed. That's not the way it works. I want someone who's a strict constructionist. I want somebody who is going to care about the Constitution and make wise and judicious decisions. Nonetheless, every president is allowed this opportunity. So there's nothing in me that says, Biden shouldn't be given this chance. Well, he's a president. He gets the chance. That's the way it works. Elections have those kinds of consequences. But this is our third branch of government. It's the interesting dynamic. It's the only branch of government that is nominated by one, confirmed by the other, and then takes the seat in the third. Keep that in mind. That's kind of a weird deal. They're not elected. They're appointed and then confirmed. So you can have a liberal president with a conservative Senate, and the president can't get his through. Obama dealt with that. Merrick Garland, who is now the Attorney General, was nominated for the Supreme Court, and the Republicans controlled the Senate, and they wouldn't do it. So picture this. Breyer says he's not going to retire until the end of this summer. Elections are in November. Yep. They take office, I believe, the following February. If we see a lame duck session of the U.S. Senate in which the elections have already said it was flipped and they no longer have a Democrat majority, will the Republicans be able to hold the fort long enough to get to the new seating of the Republican majority to resist having a progressive put in? See, this stuff happens. Now, that's exactly what happened to Merrick Garland. That's exactly what happened. In a sense, that's exactly what happened. But it's the breaking news today. 83-year-old, the other way, it's time for him to go to the House, let's be honest. 83-year-old U.S. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer has just announced that he will retire at the end of this term, which is this summer. Oh, yeah. That's the first of three stories I've got on breaking news. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, sitting here in the most studious studio, highly overdressed for radio, having a cup of Just Love Coffee, which I actually am because they're one of our sponsors, and I buy their stuff online so I can make coffee at the studio. But listen, I got to tell you, my buddy Scott Stantis just texted me off that last segment we just did. Hey, Copper, grab the mic.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. You know that the president has the right to appoint those who he deems, you know, necessary to take the empty seat on the Supreme Court, right? Okay, you got that part, right?
Yeah.
All right. There are already calls. Who is this? This is Senator Patty Murray, Democrat of Washington, has already called today for President Biden to pledge to nominate the first black woman to the Supreme Court, meaning her qualification is skin color first and other qualifications come second. All right. Tracking?
Yeah.
All right. Next thing on the list, though, my buddy Scott Stantis sent me a link to a story off of NBC News from back in May of 2020 when Biden was campaigning, in which he pledged that if elected president, he would put the first black woman on the Supreme Court. Okay. Who do we know in big, powerful circles that is a black woman who's also a lawyer? Think.
Oh, gosh.
It's a quiz.
Stacey Abrams? Oh, wait, no. She wasn't a lawyer, was she?
I don't know, but if she was, I'm scared. That just says nothing about my profession. But go ahead. To think. She might have been an attorney general. She might be vice president. Kamala Harris.
Really?
So Stantis, yeah, can you imagine this, Copper? So Stantis just texted me. He goes, here's how he gets rid of his vice president problem.
Boy.
And then she's appointed for life. She's got a gig. She's young enough to keep it till she's like 900 years old like the others do. And we get a new vice president that they can put up to run, you know, on a better ticket in 2024. Is that scary or what?
Yeah. Have we ever swapped out a vice president like that?
You know, I don't know. You know what? Well, I'll take it back. No, we've had presidents who either were assassinated or resigned and their vice president took over, which means they had to bring in a new, because Gerald Ford. Okay. So President Gerald Ford, when he took office, yes, so Spiro Agnew, as a matter of fact. Okay, yes, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you had Richard Nixon was president. His vice president was Spiro Agnew. Agnew resigned because of controversy, and the president then, Nixon, went out and got Gerald Ford, who I believe was serving in Congress, brought him in, he became vice president, and then later on, Nixon resigned, and Ford became president. So there you go. I believe it's the power of appointment at that point. The president is allowed to call upon who he would like to come fill the role. I don't know if they're confirmed or not, but I think they are. Anyway, oh man, we got some big doings, Copper. We're sitting here just spitballing in real time right now. The world is hearing our minds turn. But can you imagine? Okay, Stantis is still texting me. What are you saying, Scott? He says, he said, man, if I was in his inner circle, President Biden, he said, I'd be pushing this hard. It's a dramatic act. He needs to get back on track. That's Scott Stantis. I know you're listening to me. You're a genius, an evil genius, but a genius nonetheless. All right. That's one. Okay. So that's one of the breaking news stories, folks. Thanks, Copper. Just wanted to spitball that with you for a second. That's one of the breaking news stories is our Supreme Court is going to have some upheaval. There will be a new Supreme Court justice. What we don't know is whether it will take place during this this year with the current sitting Senate, which is 50-50 divided with the tiebreaker vote being Kamala Harris. Oh, Scott Stantis, she can't vote for herself, but you know that they would have somebody else come in and preside. But nonetheless, oh, wait a minute. Stantis, I just threw you a ringer, man. Because in the absence of the vice president, one of the members of the body sits in the chair, which brings it back to a 50-50, and there's no way they could get Kamala Harris in, I would think, unless they got like a moderate to vote for her. Interesting. Okay, next story, breaking news, all right? I'm not even in the triple dipper yet because I got three major stories that were just too good. They were separate. They were standalone stories. They're not a triple dipper category themselves. Number one was the Supreme Court. Number two, OSHA. OSHA has officially rescinded its vaccine mandate. I wish we had some applause we could play right now, because what that means is we just won. We won. Listen to me, all you folks like me who believe that mandates were unconstitutional and wrong, we won. All right, so there's multiple kinds of mandates for the vaccine. There's the military mandate, the federal contractor mandate, the federal employee mandate, the hospital and medical care worker mandate. There was the Head Start Kindergarten federally subsidized mandate, and there was the OSHA mandate. OSHA, if you recall, is the one where the government decided they could tell private sector employers what they were allowed to do, which is difficult, and it was deemed unconstitutional. It was an overreach. Well, they lost recently in court. Now, it didn't destroy the case. What it did was it put an injunction upon OSHA being allowed to enforce this against private employers who have 100 or more employees. Well, the ruling that came down, though, in the course of drafting the opinion that said, no, you cannot put that in place right now until the entire case has been heard. In other words, they just preliminarily enjoined it and kept things status quo. But the ruling was so devastating to the Biden administration that literally OSHA has asked the court as of yesterday afternoon. Actually, I'm looking at this. You know what? This storyline is on 1819 News, is dated today. So this may have been breaking as of last night or early this morning. OSHA has asked the court to allow it to ask the court to dismiss all the cases because they have entered a formal rescission of their mandate. In other words, OSHA threw up the white flag and left the battlefield. That is awesome. Story I'm looking at here from 1819news.com. Matt Clark, our buddy who comes on the show quite often from the Center for Law and Liberty, if you recall, he has a lawsuit in one of the OSHA cases. He represents a company called Fabarc Steel and its owner, President Tony Pugh. This company, Fabarc, by the way, unlike a lot of others where they're having to fight for the employees, this one, the entire company and its owner went to bat for their employees, which I think is very cool. But nonetheless, Matt Clark basically won that lawsuit by this ruling and by OSHA surrendering. His quote was, he says exactly what I just said. He said, today the Biden administration officially raised the white flag of surrender in this case. Although the Supreme Court stayed the mandate, that was not the end of the case. Technically, OSHA had the chance to advance the case on its merits, but realizing that it was unlikely to win, the Biden administration today decided to officially surrender. So folks, that is huge, huge, huge news. In the fight against mandates and government overreach, this is a victory. This is what happens when you stand up and say no. This is what happens when conservatives take every opportunity they have, whether it be legal or calling their legislatures or voting new people in or whatever the case may be. Every opportunity you find the joint doctrine to work with. You have air, land, and sea is what I'm saying, and you bring all of it to bear. Well, we did in this case, and the victories are beginning to roll in. OSHA is officially dead as a mandate. Very cool. Okay. Wow. I mean, these are three stories that are firing me up. So number one, Justice Stephen Breyer on the Supreme Court of the United States has announced his retirement. Now the games begin as to what's going to happen for his replacement. And by the way, keep in mind all that Brett Kavanaugh stuff we went through, all the Neil Gorsuch stuff we went through. Hey, Democrats, you laid the stage, you laid the foundation for what it's supposed to be like now, apparently. Well, I hope and I believe that Republicans will not be as nasty, vindictive, vitriolic, and unprofessional as what we saw out of the Democrats. I do believe they'll fight. I do believe they'll fight to keep a progressive off the court. But I hope that we're not going to see the same kind of nasty unprofessionalism that we saw from the Democrats with Neil Gorsuch and with Amy Coney Barrett and with Brett Kavanaugh. I mean, good Lord. So yeah. It's going to be interesting. Now, story number three. You may recall this past fall, the Alabama State Legislature, like legislatures all over the nation, had to take the census data. Every 10 years they do the census, and had to redraw all of the district lines for school boards, for state senate, state house, and for Congress. So we have 7 congressional seats. That's what Alabama's apportionment allows. Because of its population. We have 7 members of Congress with 7 congressional districts, and they redrew the lines, but they weren't too far off the mark. Well, as happens every single time, lawsuits were filed. In this case, they were filed by Democrats, by groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ACLU. Well, a 3-judge panel just night before last, story again off of 1819news.com, a 3-judge panel has ruled that Alabama's congressional districts violated the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and ordered the legislature to draw a new map. Oh, God. Well, and the premise here is the lawsuit said that, see, we have one right now in our current setup. We have one minority-dominated congressional district, which is where Democrat Congresswoman, the only Democrat in Congress from Alabama, Democrat Congresswoman Terry Sewell is from. Their contention is that the population of Alabama demographically is 27% black, and therefore there should be a second congressional district. Well, this is the politics of race. And so what we're looking at here is now there is an argument being made, and apparently successfully before the 3-judge panel, but that's an interim. That's not the full case, all right? Well, they have now ruled that our congressional districts are to be done away with and redrawn. Keep in mind what this means. The races are already underway. So as Casey Wardinsky and Dale Strong and others are running for Congress, the question is the district line about to change? Are there people running for a seat right now that if they redrew the lines would not be in the same district anymore? That's very possible. I can tell you right now, where I live, I saw the map we have now, and I saw the map that the Democrats are proposing, and where I live changes. I would be in an entirely different congressional district. I'm in the 4th right now, and I'd be moving to one of the other, I think 3rd next. I mean, that's significant. And so the very idea that we are literally less than 120 days away from the primary, and they're saying that we got to redraw the lines? Well, already the questions are being asked. Mac McCutcheon, Speaker of the House, said the possibility exists that we might have to have 2 primaries, might have to establish a separate election if the announcement that we have today is that Attorney General Steve Marshall is going to appeal that 3-judge panel, and if he is successful, we'll rock on with what we've got. If he is not successful in his appeal, there would have to be a redrawing of the lines, things would change, and there may very well have to be a second primary in the event that those who are running find themselves into a different district than what they had originally planned. That, folks, is the definition of a political mess. Wow. I find it interesting, too, that Senator Jim McClendon, who I know personally, a Republican from Springville, he's been chairing the Committee on Reapportionment. That's the organization or the committee that oversees the redrawing of those lines. And I would just point out that he presided over it last time, and those had to be redrawn, too. So, Jim, I think it's time for you to find another gig, man, because so far everything you draw goes to court and gets challenged. All right, folks, listen, we got to take a break. I ran a little bit long on that. When we come back, I'm going to kick off the next topic. I'm going to get into the Triple Dipper finally, because all I've done so far is breaking news. But the Triple Dipper, the legislature is all in for gambling. Coming up top of the hour, too, a friend of mine, Sean Sullivan from FM Talk 106.5 down on the coast, is going to be on with us. And we'll talk about the legislature's pursuit of gaming or not. What do you think? Lottery? Casinos? Expansion? Do you want monopolies in gambling casinos in the state of Alabama? It's a mess. I'll tell you about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Finished up with some breaking news. We had three stories there. Number one, Supreme Court of the United States is going to be facing a vacancy. Justice Stephen Breyer has announced he will retire late this summer. President Biden gets that ultimate privilege of appointing someone who would then have to be confirmed by the Senate. And they could take the court in a progressive direction if they give them the opportunity in the future. Now, right now, we do have a conservative makeup. It won't change the makeup of the current court. It does not mean, though, that in the future it could not have an impact. So there's that. Number two, the number two story that I talked about just briefly was the fact that the OSHA vaccine mandate is done. Ding dong, that wicked witch is dead. So yeah, the OSHA today capitulated. They waved the white flag. They officially rescinded their mandate and asked the court to dismiss the cases. I'll keep you posted if something changes on that, but it appears the OSHA mandate is done, and that's a big hairy deal. And then number three on the Triple Dipper is the a three-judge panel of federal district court judges has decided that Alabama's new congressional district lines, which were just passed as last fall, which, by the way, legislature, you waited too long. You gave them plenty of time to screw things up, but you didn't give yourself enough time to react, even though you knew they were going to file suit, and there's that. But nevertheless, the three-judge panel has ruled that our congressional districts have to be redrawn. Now, Attorney General Steve Marshall has already announced he will be appealing this, asking the court to put a stay on the deadline that was given by the court in this ruling. But nonetheless, right now, if you're running for Congress, Dale Strong, Casey Wardinsky, people like that, you have to wonder, good Lord, do I even live in the district once they redraw the lines? That's crazy. So yeah, we'll see what happens. That's all the breaking news. Now, coming up top of the hour here in a few minutes, I'm going to be going to a new topic. You may have heard about last year's gambling bill, but did you hear everything about it? Because one of the most infuriating things to me was before I had this platform, it was before 1819 News was out there, all you heard from AL.com was, we may have casinos, we may have a lottery. You know, and that's just, you know, no. It was the most god-awful piece of legislation I have ever seen. I went down and spoke against it at a committee in Montgomery because it wasn't about bringing a lottery. And by the way, why were they combining lottery with casinos? I spent 8 years in the Alabama Senate. Multiple times I had constituents who would say to me, hey, Phil, I'd like to have a lottery. They never once said to me, hey, Phil, I really want a new casino. That doesn't happen. The amount of money paid by casinos for lobbyists to try and influence legislation is a sickness in the state house. Well, the bill that they wanted to pass, the bill that almost passed, literally would have taken the names of the actual casino owners or racetrack owners now, and it would have embedded them into our Constitution to create a monopoly for casino owners. So let's say we did legalize it. Would you want just one grocery store in your town, or would you want to know the best grocery store can come to your town? I'm not for casinos in a big way anyway. But you don't create monopolies. That was one of the many things wrong with that bill. It was self-serving. It was paid for by the lobbying special interests on behalf of the gambling magnates. And it was a travesty, and no Republican should have ever considered that piece of legislation. Well, they're back. Coming up next, Sean Sullivan from FM Talk 106.5 will dissect that with me a little bit. We'll see how it goes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Be right back.